Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 17, and then we're going to read down through verse 22 tonight for our scripture reading. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. I believe we're here by divine appointment. I believe you have something for every single person that's here. And I pray that we'd stay alert, we'd pay attention, and we'd get what you have for us tonight. What a shame it would be for us to go to all the trouble to come tonight and miss the blessed truth that you have for us. So speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to listen. Help us to be obedient. Help us to do what you tell us to do. If there is somebody here that doesn't know Christ, I pray tonight would be the night they decide to receive him. Just bless the next few minutes. Help us to uplift Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Of course, most of you know because you've heard the stories, but of the New Testament, Peter and Andrew were a set of brothers, and James and John were a set of brothers, and they were all fishermen. They knew what it was to toil through the night. Many times in the Bible we read where they said, "We fished all night," and they knew what it was to toil through the night, cast their net into the sea, and fish. I mean, that was their occupation. I believe that that was their father's occupation. And I think when we get to heaven, we get to talk to these sets of brothers, we'll find that it was a family occupation for a long, long time. There were two occasions in the Bible where it says, and maybe there's more, but just two that I could recall when I was putting my notes together, where they said they fished all night and caught nothing. So they knew, as some of us do, the disappointments of fishing for a long time and catching nothing. But on those same two occasions, when the Bible says they caught nothing, the master of the sea stood on the shore and said, "Hey, fellas, cast your net on the other side." And the Bible says that they pulled in so many fish on those two occasions that the ship began to sink. They caught so many fish. So they knew what it was as fishermen to fish all night and catch nothing. They knew and the disappointment that's associated with that. And then they knew the victory and the thrill of catching a whole bunch of fish and being able to haul them in. And I'm sure there were, between those two extremes, there were many days where they caught some, many days they caught a few, many days they caught many. But it's a wonderful thing to see how Jesus works in people's lives. And I'm so glad that we have a God that doesn't change. I'm glad that we can read the pages of the New Testament and see how he worked in people's lives back then and know that he works the same way in our lives. I think these two sets of brothers had already met him. I think they'd already seen him work. I think they'd already heard him teach and heard him preach. They'd already seen, I think, the miracle that's recorded in Luke chapter 5, where Jesus got into Peter's boat and cast out a little bit and taught, and then and said, "Cast out and we'll go fishing." And that's one of the occasions where Peter said, "Hey, we fished all night and caught nothing, but nevertheless, at your word, because you say it, I'll let down the net." And that was one, again, that occasion when they caught a bunch of fish. I think all that had already happened. I think Andrew had already brought Peter to Christ, and Peter said, or Jesus said to Simon, you're going to be called Peter, the rock. I think, again, maybe they'd already seen some of the healing miracles that Jesus did. But now it was time for them to decide. Now it was time for them to commit. Were they going to be disciples, or were they going to be fishermen? Were they going to follow Jesus, or were they going to stay in the business that they'd grown up in? And so Jesus was walking along the shore. He saw Peter and Andrew first, and he said, "Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." And the Bible says they immediately left the ship and followed Jesus. As we read a moment ago, Jesus walked a little further down the beach. He saw another set of brothers, James and John. He called them. And the Bible says again, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and they followed him. Now, the call hasn't changed. The world, in some respects, has changed. The circumstances in which we live have changed. People, again, in some respects, have changed. But the call has remained the same. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, be my disciples. Follow me, be part of that team that tells other people about me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say, follow me and be a fisher of men? He didn't say that. He didn't say, look, I want you to be a fisher of men. What he said was, you follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. Brother Leonard, come up here for a minute. I need your help. You see, it's real easy for us to follow somebody. It's not hard. Walk around, I'm going to follow you. I mean, I can follow Brother Leonard. I mean, I don't need any special skill. I don't need any special education. I can just follow him. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Follow Jesus. I mean, now, if I follow Brother Leonard, let's say I just followed him for this whole week. Everywhere he went, you'd be in real trouble. keep walking. I mean, everywhere he went, when he went to work, when he went home, I mean, everywhere he went, I would follow him. You know, by the end of the week, you know what I'd be? I'd be a crazy hillbilly just like he is. Okay, Brother Leonard, go back and sit down. Thanks. I would. I mean, I spend time with him here, and I go home talking hillbilly. But if I spent the whole week with him, I would become like him. Okay, Brother Dick, you come up here. You start walking. Now, let's say I did the same thing to Brother Dick. Let's just say I'm going to follow him. Again, I don't need any special skill. I don't need any special education. It's easy to follow somebody. All you got to do is see him and just stay behind him and walk. Oh boy, I tell you this, yeah. and stay with him. Now, if I followed Brother Dick around for a week, I mean, if I went with him to work, if I went with him as he was repping all those games, I guarantee you that by the end of the week, I would be more like him. Okay, let's go this way. I'm getting tired. But I would begin to be like him. Okay, thanks, Brother Dick. I can't keep up with you. But I would know more about sports. I mean, I would know more about repping. I would know more about the things that he knows about. And I'm so glad that when Jesus, the call comes to us, he didn't say, now what, come on, you be a fisher of men. What he said was, you follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. And I guarantee you that if you'll take time following Jesus, you'll be a fisher of men. You say, well, how can I follow him? I mean, the disciples were able to do that physically. They were able to see him. How can I follow him? Hey, get in this book. This book tells us where he's going. This book tells us how he walked. This book tells us what his priorities were. You get in this book and you learn all you can about Jesus. You spend time every day talking to him. And pretty soon, he'll do exactly what he did for Peter and Andrew and James and John. He will make you a fisher of men. And you'll do things that you never thought were possible. I mean, if you would have went to Peter and Andrew and James and John, and you would have asked them this particular day, when Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. If you would have went to them and say, Peter, you realize that one day you're going to preach and 3,000 people are going to get saved and baptized? He'd say, no way, Jose. Ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. I mean, I'm not that kind of guy. And if you would have asked James and John, they would have said the same thing. No, we're not that kind of people. In Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John were arrested for preaching, they'd healed a man and they'd gathered a crowd and they began to preach Jesus. They got arrested and they hauled them in before the religious people that were in charge. And they told them, hey, quit preaching about Jesus. You're trying to blame his death on us. Don't you do that. We want you to be quiet. We want you to shut up. And Peter and John says, hey, we can't help it. I mean, if we tried to be quiet, we couldn't do it. You know how some of you ladies, sometimes you hear something, you just can't wait. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. You know how we sometimes, we hear something that we just can't wait to share with somebody? I'm not talking about gossip. I mean, that's where your mind went, but I'm talking about something good, you know? Something good. We just can't wait to share it with somebody. That's what these two guys were saying. I mean, we can't. They said, well, you tell us to be quiet. You tell us to shut up. We can't help it. We're so excited about what we've seen and what we've heard, we can't help but tell other people. And there's a verse 13 in Acts chapter 4 there where it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? They had been with Jesus. It's not important how much education you have. It's who you've been with. It's not, I mean, they were unlearned. It's not important how much you know. The Bible says they were ignorant. What's important is who you've been following, who you've been with. And they couldn't help but share with others the things that they've seen. Said, we've got to talk about Jesus. And I thought when I was writing my notes on the airplane the other night, that little chorus that we sing sometime came into my mind, Brother Dick. I almost started singing it, but it was in the middle of the night, so I didn't want to wake anybody up. But let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. And the more you follow Him, the more you stay close to Him, the more you'll have to talk about and the more you'll want to talk about Him. Follow Him. So they followed Him. And they, as disciples, saw the people that He went after. I've entitled my message tonight the same that I entitled my one this morning. This morning I preached on the subject, Go After That Which Is Lost. And tonight I preach on the same subject, the same title. I want to talk to you about the people that Jesus went after. Because you see, as the disciples followed Him, they saw the kind of people that Jesus went after. And we can learn from the kind of people that Jesus went after. Because I'll tell you something. There's still those types of people in the world today. And they still need Jesus. Now, again, to make it easy, I started all my points this morning with the letter D. Remember? Disaster, desire, decision, dedication, and then delight. Well, tonight, all the types of people that I want to mention to you, these five types, are all going to start with the letter D. Number one is the devoted. Devoted. Jesus went after a devoted man in John chapter 3. In verses 1 and 2 of that chapter, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus was a good man. Nicodemus was a lawful man. Nicodemus was a devoted man. He was devoted to the law. He was devoted to those books that Moses wrote that contained the Ten Commandments and the other laws that the Jews followed. He knew it. He had much of it. Nicodemus had much of it memorized. He had it written on various parts of his clothing. I mean, they would write it on their sleeve, and they would write it on a place near their heart. They carried around on their body, in their clothes, the law of God. He was careful. Nicodemus was, as a Pharisee, he was careful to observe every detail of the law. He was careful to keep every jot and every tittle. And if by chance he stepped over the line, if by chance he broke even one of the smallest laws that are in the Torah, one of the smallest commandments that the Jews observed, then he was quick to offer the prescribed payment. He would take a lamb, he would take a sacrifice and go to the priest, and he would ask God's forgiveness for breaking the law. If anyone could come to God, if anyone could come to Jesus and offer up his own righteousness, it was Nicodemus. If anyone could come to God and say, I have a clean, pure life, it was Nicodemus. If anyone could say, I've tried to keep all the commandments that I know, all the commandments that are in the book of Moses. Moses. It was. See what happens when your tongue gets ahead of your brain? if anyone could come to God and say, I've kept all the commandments of Moses, and I've tried to live a clean, decent, pure, moral life, it would be the man Nicodemus. And he came to Jesus that night, and the first thing Jesus said was, hey, you're a good guy. That wasn't it. He said, hey, I appreciate your righteousness. That wasn't it. Hey, I'm glad that you're a Pharisee and you pay attention to all the law and keep it. That's not what Jesus said. First thing Jesus said was, you must be born again. You must be born again. Your own righteousness, Nicodemus, won't stand up in God's court. It's not of works. That verse hadn't been written yet. Paul was going to write it later. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Nicodemus, it doesn't matter how much of the law you know. It doesn't matter how much of the law you keep. What matters is that you be born again and know the Son of God. He said there in John chapter 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, a story that Nicodemus was very familiar with, a story that when the people of Israel sinned, God sent these fiery serpents and bit the people, and they started to die. They ran to Moses, and they said, Moses, these snakes are biting us, and we're dying. And Moses went to God, and God said, Moses, make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, lift it up, tell anybody that's been bitten by a snake to look to the serpent, that brazen serpent, and they'll live. And that's what Jesus was referring to. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That's what it takes, Nicodemus. It's not your good works. It's not keeping the law. It's being born again. Now tonight I want you to think about all the good people that you know in your life. All the people that you would put in the category of decent, moral, and kind. Those people that help others. Those people that might even come to church on Sunday morning. Those people that are devoted to doing good. Those people need Jesus. Those are the kind of people that Jesus went after as He sought the lost. Those are the kind of people that He came when He said, I can't come to seek and to save that which was lost. He was talking about that person that was devoted to the law, that depended on his own righteousness. Jesus said, I came to save them. And if we're going to follow Him, we're going to go after those same kind of people. Good people need Jesus too. Righteous people need Jesus too. They need to know the Son of God. They need to be born again. So the devoted. Second type of person I'd like to mention to you tonight are the degenerate. You only have to flip over one chapter in the book of John. Leave John chapter 3 where we meet the devoted man Nicodemus. Turn over to John chapter 4 and you meet a lady. Jesus, the Bible said, must needs go through Samaria. I came to a well. Sent the disciples into town to buy lunch and a lady comes. Been married 5 times. She was living with a man that wasn't her husband. Jesus said, hey, would you give me a drink? And it shocked her. She said, hey, you know what you're doing? I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew. You people don't talk to us. And besides that, I'm a woman and you're a man. Back in that day, I mean, you were breaking all the rules of custom and culture when a man talked to a woman that he did not know. Jesus was breaking through all the barriers, all the social barriers that people put up, because there was a sinful woman that needed a Savior. She said, why are you asking me for a drink? Jesus said, hey, lady, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for a drink. And she said, hey, the well is deep. You don't have anything to draw with. Jesus said, I don't want to give you a drink out of this well. I want to give you a drink out of a well that if you'll drink from, it'll form a well of living water in your soul and you'll never thirst. I want you to think of the people that you know that are drunks, that are addicts, that have disappointed you perhaps because you've tried to witness to them over and over and over again. People that you know that live in the gutter. People that the world has given up on, that religion in many cases has given up on, people that churches in many cases have given up on, people, and sad to say, sometimes Christians give up on. Jesus never gives up on them. I don't care how long they've been in the gutter. I don't care how long they've been addicted. It doesn't matter. Jesus still loves them. I read the other night the story of the Good Samaritan. That man that was beaten and left for dead. I thought about it because when I was, I walked around the Los Angeles airport a little bit on Friday night before I came home. And there was a guy that was drunk laying on the street out ready to catch the bus to go pick up the rental car. And when I saw him, I thought to myself, I wonder if anybody's ever told that guy about Jesus. He was as drunk as a skunk. I mean, there was no news for me. I put a track in his pocket. He didn't even move. I mean, he was just breathing. And I almost got drunk just standing there smelling. But he was drunk. But I thought to myself, I wonder if anybody's ever told this guy about Jesus. We'd walk right by and say, boy, just like the priest and the Levite did in the story of the Good Samaritan, say, boy, there's no hope for that guy. There's hope as long as Jesus loves him. Jesus went after the degenerate. Those are the kind of folks that he went after. We need to go after them too. Third kind of person I'd like to mention you tonight, again, is just in the next chapter of John. The devoted in John chapter 3, the degenerate in John chapter 4, the disabled in John chapter 5. It tells a story in John chapter 5 of an impotent man, a lame man, that laid by the pool of Bethesda. Been there for 38 years in his infirmity, the Bible says. The Bible says, and I'm anxious to get to heaven to see if this was really true, but the Bible says every now and then an angel came down and stirred the waters, and whoever was first in the waters was healed. But somebody already always beat this guy into the water. Jesus came one day and he said, will you make me made whole? He says, I have nobody to help me into the water while I'm trying to get there. Somebody always gets in before me. And Jesus said to him, take up your bed and walk. Get up and walk. Go ahead and read the fifth chapter of John. You'll see that Jesus not only healed him physically, he healed him spiritually. All of us love Brother Dave Tyler. And I think it pleases God how you all make over him. Now everybody that comes in shakes his hand, gives him a hug, tells him that they love him. I think that pleases God. And this morning he was sitting there and toward the end of the invitation, he did like this to me. We ended the invitation. I asked Sam to pray. I stopped and talked to him for a minute before we got done and went out. I said, what's up? He said, hey, you remember now that when the summer comes, you're going to go out and find a lake and you're going to baptize me, right? I said, yes, sir. We're going to do it as soon as we get warm. As soon as it gets warm and the water thaws out, Brother Clint's already got a line on an old wheelchair. We're going to put you in there. We're going to take you down to the lake and we're going to baptize you. He said, I don't want you to forget. I said, I won't, Dave. And he's a blessing to us. A blessing. But here's the question. How many other people are out there like Brother Dave? I mean, you hear about Jesus. How many other people that are in a wheelchair? He paid his own way to come. He paid his own way to come to church. Unless he's sick, he's here. I wonder how many other people are in places all around us that are in that same condition, that are just waiting for somebody to tell them about Jesus. Jesus went after the disabled. We need you too. The fourth kind of person I would mention you tonight, we'll go to another book of the Bible, Mark chapter 5. We read there the story of the maniac of Gadara. He lived in the tombs. He was naked day and night, the Bible says, that he cried, he cut himself with stones. He was the kind of person you couldn't reason with. Kind of person you couldn't control. The Bible says they put chains on him and that you couldn't hold him. He would break the chains. Jesus came on the scene, called the demons out. You go ahead and read that story. At the end of the story, he said, "I want to follow you." He was in his right mind. He was clothed. And when Jesus got ready to go, this one that just a few moments before was naked and uncontrollable said, "Savior, I want to go with you." And Jesus said, "No, you go home. And you tell him what great things God's done for you." There are people that we know that if you ask us, we would say they are demon-possessed. The devil's got a hold of them so strong you can't reason with them. And in many, many ways, they're uncontrollable. Let's not walk away from those people. We've still got the same God. We've still got a God that can get a hold of people like that, put them back in their right mind, bring them to himself. And then, number five, he went after the devoted. He went after the degenerate. He went after the disabled. He went after the demon-possessed. He went after the dying. Luke chapter 23, Jesus is hanging on the cross. Beside him was a dying thief. This thief watched as Jesus died. He watched as they stripped his clothes off him. He watched as they nailed him to that cross. They watched as he hung there and struggled, agonized for every breath. He watched as the blood dripped from his head and from his back, from his hands and from his feet. You talk about great faith. I don't know if there's a greater faith in all the Bible than this dying thief. He looked over beside at this one who he knew was going to die. And he said, "Hey, when you come to your kingdom," you see, he looked through the cross and saw the kingdom. He looked through the ridicule that Jesus was going through and saw the kingdom. He looked through the death and the burial and saw the kingdom and said, "Lord, I'm coming to your kingdom. Would you remember me?" Jesus said, "Hey, bud, today, you will be with me in paradise." People that are dying need a Savior. And those are the kind of people that Jesus went after. He said, "Follow me. Follow me. I don't need to know to be an expert to deal with somebody that's righteous, self-righteous. I don't need to be an expert to deal with somebody that's in deep sin. I don't need to be an expert to deal with the disabled. I don't need to be an expert to deal with the demon-possessed. I just need to follow Jesus. He'll make me a fisher of men. He'll make you a fisher of men. Let's follow him." Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for giving us a wonderful example in our Savior of what it is to be a fisher of men. Help us to follow him. Same kind of people that Jesus went after in the pages of the New Testament are the same kind of people that live in our world today. Same need that those people had to meet the Son of God. Same need that people in our world have today. And I pray, Father, that we'd be like Peter, Andrew, James, and John. That as we hear the call to follow him, that we would leave immediately things that would stop us from doing it. And we would follow Jesus. And we'd let him make us a fisher. I pray tonight if somebody here that doesn't know Christ, that they could see the one on the cross like the dying thief did. They could see the price that was paid for their salvation. Just like he made a decision, they would make a decision tonight to receive him. Father, I pray you speak to us. Holy Spirit, you speak to us. You work in our hearts tonight. Help us to be obedient to what you tell us to do. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. It's in his name we pray. Amen.